This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Spill a rat to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
Guess what? You're listening to Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast, available to you on the internet. Holy shit. Salam.
The one and only, huh?
This is the only one. Did you know that, okay. Jackie?
Now I know.
Yeah, there's no others, which is like really upsetting to me and Rachel. And wow. We're here. This is a real Middle Eastern UN moment. We got Salam Akhlin, Shabbat Shaloms. We got everyone here. So excited to have.
I think we're going to solve it, guys.
If we just put
our heads together.
Yes, yeah, I think they're really going to listen to our queer POV on this.
They really care what we think. We can affect policy.
We can't. Well, the gorgeous voices you're hearing are that of season 12 royalty, both Rachel Bloom and Jackie Cox.
I refuse to be put in the same category as season 12 royalty. I did a day of work. I am a season 12 serf.
That's very kind, and we are very gagged to have Jackie with us. I mean, just a fucking ray of sunshine, drag excellence. Jackie!
Salam.
So we have Miss Georges walking in. I mean, look at this little buttercup.
I met Georges when I performed in Nashville, and she is truly really gorgeous.
I mean, she's truly stunning.
What's crazy about Nashville is there's so many big personalities at Play Nashville, which is where she works, that she's so quiet. And so I didn't really have much of a sense of her personality until this episode. Because she's, you know, there's some really, you know, there's some big personalities in Nashville, which is amazing. But, you know, it's so great to see her shine here. And she looks so good. And she's so adorable.
Yes.
So cute. We live.
So cute. I love a little tight cutie like this. I mean...
We'll make sure we put that on your profile.
She literally looks like a college boyfriend I had, where I was like, oh yeah, I live for a short king. Love a short king.
We stand.
I'm over tall. I'm over the over exaltation of tallness. I'm like, give me a short king. But she looks incredible.
I've never been a height person. Like, no. Height has nothing to do with anything for me. So.
Yeah. Aren't you quite tall, though?
Me? No, I'm 5'10", like Cindy Crawford. But when you met me, I was in heels. So, you know, I was probably
That's why. Okay, that makes more sense.
Which is, that's also rare and probably won't ever happen again. We actually got to, like, dance together. I forget if they show it, but at the end of the debate, we actually got to, like, come onto the floor together and dance.
Yes, and actually at the, yes, it was the end of the, no, they never showed it, but, like, end of the debate, we danced together, and the pit crew... And that was the first time that day that I remembered I was like really pregnant, because I remember I was in these stilettos and I was twerking with a member of the pit crew. And then I went, oh no, I'm going to faint. And I thought I was going to faint. And I was like, what are you doing? You're twerking with the pit crew and you are fucking have morning sickness and you're pregnant. But like, it was so fun. I don't think they show it any of it.
If anything, maybe a quick second, but yeah.
Amazing.
Bring on the next girl.
Okay,
bring
the next girl is Deja Sky. Deja Sky. Sorry, my fucking VH1 is hard. Deja Sky comes in this pink polka dot thing, which I'll show y'all briefly. But she's
sorry,
stunning.
You should. We have to say that as you're saying this, there is just a preview for Blue Bloods. That's what we're actually watching
just
because
old ass.
I don't know
Reynolds.
What is happening with your ads of you trying to replay
playing.
This episode.
They keep playing like a 5-minute ad for Paramount Plus while I'm trying to show you guys their entrance looks.
Oh gosh. Okay. I mean, look. I think this is. I'll be honest. Not my favorite entrance look, but I think her makeup is beautiful and the hair is really pretty. The main issue for me with this look is that the cream blouse either needed to be brighter or because it's almost like kind of gray the way it's kind of the sheerness of it looks kind of gray. So I didn't love I think it either needs to be bright to match the bright white of the white polka dots on the pink bow. Mm-hmm. But I mean, her personality is so lovable and I think she looks beautiful. That's just like a very small thing. Also one of those things that it may look very different in person. Like the lights and the cameras, everything looks slightly different. And those workroom lights are
bright.
Really different than the runway lights as well. So things look very different in the workroom versus how they look on the runway. So
right.
Like, for example, I think the lighting in the little photo challenge, the outfit looked a little better. But in this entrance, I didn't love Deja's outfit.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm scared to scrub forward, but because I think we're going to get more blue blood. God damn it! I scrubbed forward like a second, and it immediately went to a Jack in the Box commercial.
Wait,
you know
this
what,
is
you know what you should do?
This is insane.
Well, I was going to say, pause this, and why don't you actually just pull up the looks on put like episode 2 entrance looks, and that's
okay.
Probably the easiest thing.
You're 100% right, and that's just...
What is VH1?
Fuck VH1.
Guys, it was literally previews for every show on Paramount Plus. That was insane.
Yeah, they're pushing it hard, kids.
Pulling this up, behind me is the outline actually for the latest TV show I'm working on.
Wow.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. I'm excited for this.
And that's a pilot that I have with that if they like the pilot, it'll just go to series.
Yes.
So I'm working. That was an idea I had when I was, pregnant or maybe when I was pregnant, because I was reading a lot of science books. Because I wanted to learn about my body as I was pregnant. And then I was like, I want to do a sketch show about So like, that's what I almost have this like backlog of ideas of stuff that happened when I was like pregnant that I'm like, is now coming to fruition and shit.
Do it.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited. We'll see.
I can't wait.
Okay, here's the looks. Also me on the bottom.
sorry. You were saying, I'm just, in case this helps our person edit it. That's why I said we're back. we talked Deja Sky's look. It could be better. The nude bodysuit is okay, all right.
But then, is it nude or is it white? That's what I think was a little confusing.
It's kind of white.
That's white, yeah.
It's kind of white.
It would be nude if she were like a Swedish person who'd never seen the sun.
Right, and I think right now the problem is that it's in between nude and white, and you want it to either be like a bright white blouse or matching her skin tone.
And I think Jasmine Kennedy comes in next. She's very pageanty, but she's also a New York girl, ? Jackie?
She is a New York girl.
I only met
her once, and she was very lovely. And she's very talented. And this outfit is very pageanty. I think she was definitely giving that. That was very that vibe. The feathers, the rhinestones, it all. Yeah,
Laid.
I mean, this is
pink.
Yeah, it's
purple.
It's kind of like Jersey pageant, right? It's very that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pink eagle.
She sold it. She sold it. She looks great.
She looks great. You can't knock it. And I think, what do you think, Rach? Anything we forgot about Miss Jasmine Kennedy?
No, beautiful. They keep bringing up how young she is. She's what, like in her? She's like 22 or something.
Yeah.
God.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's amazing. I just, I've said this before on the show, but like to be on a national platform like this, an international platform when you're that young, I would have just, I don't know.
I say this often. I'm very grateful that I waited and on some level. I'm glad I waited until I was, I think, mentally able to handle it because it is very intense. You know, we talked a little bit about like what happens on Twitter is horrible and like it's really hard mentally to manage it. And I'm grateful that I've had enough, at least enough life experience to kind of know that some things are very temporary and like even horrible things can sometimes be temporary, but it takes a while for you to learn that, you know, in the moment things can be really horrible. When these young queens do it, I'm always like Gigi, has always boggled my mind because she is just so knows what she wants. And she was 21 when we filmed as well. So it's very...
Oh, my God.
It's very incredible, right?
Us.
No, did you miss what I just said? I said it's a good thing.
No, we're in our 30s.
And
Mono only heard the irrelevant part of what you were saying.
Yes, I only heard the horrible. I just went straight to facade, superficial. Like for me, horrible. Like my superficial being like, damn, that sounds nice. Sounds nice to be 21.
Does it though?
No.
No, I mean, not for me. But you, like you're
when
saying,
you
Gigi makes it so elegant.
Not. No, I mean, look, but like, did you have those mental capacities at 21? I did not. I would have probably at 21 yelled at Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The first music video I did, this music video, Fuck Me, Ray Bradbury, went viral when I was 20. I think I was 20. But it was all positive.
Mm.
Like it was, and I was barely on, I had only started on Twitter and no one was like shitting on me or I didn't know how to find people shitting on me. It was only positive, but it was still quite overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
It was very, very overwhelming. So I can only imagine like with how overwhelming that was, I'm now multiplying that by a billion of like, okay, you're on television, infinitely more people are noticing you and you're potentially getting like hate. It's the hate part that is just like
with
so,
a platform this big,
so
which is
hard.
Tough, and you know this from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you always get hate. And that's mm-hmm. the thing that like is so hard to like wrap our brains around, is that the hate has nothing to do with us, but it feels so personal because it's about us and it's about specific things that we do or say or specific things people like or don't like.
And you feel it more than the nice things.
Of course you do, because that's like your survival instinct, right? You want to hone in on the bad stuff so that you can protect yourself from it. And sadly, there's no protecting yourself from fake things on the internet. You know, that's the thing, is our little lizard brains are trained to seek out any threats so that we mm-hmm. can neutralize them or mm-hmm. hide from them or kill them. And sadly, right, it's you can deactivate your Twitter account, but it's tough when, you know, part of your job is to then also engage with the fans. You know, mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest differences, I think, between becoming famous through reality TV versus something like scripted television, is people will forever assume this is you in your real life and will also continuously demand that access to you because they, part of the reason they connect you is because they know the real you, or they think they know the real you. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of sign a deal that like your real self is, to some degree, will always have to be accessible if you would like to continue in the business, mm-hmm. Which is something that's different. You know, I think some queens do things like deactivate their Instagrams and Twitter, but that doesn't, for this kind of a gig, it doesn't really work, because part of the reason that it's reality TV is because people want that connection to you. They want that real life connection. So again, that's a double-edged sword. And so for the young queens, my only advice would be to remember that your brain is actively trying to find those negative comments because it's trying to protect itself, mm-hmm. and be okay with that. Like, okay, the reason I'm focusing on this is because there's a part of my lizard brain that thinks I can neutralize this threat. And then, you know, your rational brain will remind you that it's just someone behind a computer screen going through their own feelings, having their own shit that has nothing to do with you. And it's so hard to remember that because you have a whole animal part of your brain that is focusing on the negativity. Mm-hmm. But that's always what I remember, or try to remember myself, because, you know, girl, I encounter it.
It's hard.
You know, and Jackie, everything you're saying is so fucking smart and so fucking well said in it. And it, you were asking, like, how has being a mother changed, you know, my art? Or I think the first practical thing is, like, it has caused me to step back from social media. And the first thing being that I try to keep, because my daughter can't give consent, like, we've decided to err on the more, like, private, you know, like, once you reveal information, even like her name, like you can't put that back in the box. So like we're erring on the side of being like super private about her, just until like she can give consent about like what she wants on the internet. And that has created for the really the first time in my life, a truly private thing. Like, I'm so normally expulsive about, like, I'll show pictures of, like, my fucking butthole. You know, it's the first thing in, it's the first thing in my life that has actually been
like one of my
truly
favorite
private.
Videos of you is you putting on Spanx for the Golden Globes. Like, that is
well, I will still show and always, I'll still show that.
That was always lived in my memory. I was like, good for you, because people think that we, I don't know what people think, but people have some kind of fantasy, and you were just like putting on Spanx for the Golden Globes, and I was like, good for you.
Well, it's whenever I do a red carpet again, I'll post a picture of updated shapewear because I it's so funny. I watched that video. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so skinny. And my body has changed even like so much from then. I think the shapewear is going to be a lot more intense should I do another fancy award show. But also I think having a kid, part of the reason I've currently deactivated my Twitter is there was one thing I was on Twitter one day and I was getting angry at something that was trending or maybe someone said something to me and I went, wait a second, what am I doing? I need to like tend to my child. I was like, if I'm not actively working right now, like any second I'm not with her, I should be like, okay, working. But I'm on like Twitter getting angry at a fucking what's trending. And I'm thinking, well, what's my hot take? I'm like, I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? So it's helped me prioritize stuff. And then I think also thinking about what I would say to her and the relationship I want her to have with social media, which, you know, is preferably none until the last possible moment in her life. Trying to inadvertently set an example, but it's interesting, Jackie, because I'm also in between TV shows or jobs right now, and I'm about to be on a show that starts filming, and it's like, okay, if I were to ever reactivate my Twitter / be posting a lot more on Instagram, which one of them will definitely happen, not sure about Twitter, what is the new relationship I have? What is the new way to protect myself? And I think that a part of growing up in this age of social media is discerning what opinions matter. Like, okay, who are the people you respect who will both not blow smoke up your ass and tell you honestly about things whose opinions actually are relevant.
Yeah.
And so that way you're not sheltering yourself from reality. You're not surrounding yourself with yeses and making shitty work because you don't want criticism, but at the same time, not opening yourself up to every fucking person who has an opinion, because it won't make you a better person in the long run. And I think that is something that has to be like hard learned with maturity in years and years. So you talk about Gigi being 21 or all these queens being 21, 22. I wonder what their relationship to social media is. Do they have more perspective because they've been growing up with it more,
maybe,
or do they have less?
It might be a weird world where you like, we grew up with it and you like just fundamentally understand now, even by the time you're 10 or 12 or 11, that like there's gonna be like just effusive hate and praise and maybe you understand that social media.
Yeah, do you get inoculated from it? Because you're like, oh, people hate me, but like tomorrow
this is like
they'll
the most
forget.
Millennial thing we've ever said. I love it.
I know. Yeah. I know. It makes us feel so millennial because, like, in our point of view, if someone hates you, if someone's like, fucking die, you're like, oh my God.
We never grew up with people saying that. Yeah, we never grew up with like people like, saying that to us.
Yeah.
You're suddenly the worst thing, but if you grow up with it and you're like, oh, fucking die, ha, fuck you, and you're just suddenly inoculated to it, I don't know.
It's weird.
Well, next time, bring a Gen Z person on this podcast. Bring me and Rachel back, and we'll figure it out. Get to the heart of it.
We'll figure it out.
Do you know any young people?
Honestly, yeah, the Gen Z people I know right now that I would ask would be like my nieces, and I think they'd be like, what? Oh, I don't know. Like, that would literally be because they're in it. They don't know. They don't have perspective on their own era. They're in it.
Right.
Okay, diabetes. Diabetti giving punk-a-chew, if you will.
I have to stop for 2 seconds to talk about this outfit because this outfit is from one of my favorite designers, Zero Waste Daniel, who uses all recycled fabrics that were going to be thrown away. So what's really amazing about Daniel is it's all stuff that's like factories are getting rid of stuff, or there's literally scraps of fabric that are like on the cutting room floors of like garment factories that he goes around New York and actually finds these fabrics and makes them. He posted on his Instagram that this was actually from an upholstery place that was getting rid of all their fabric. And so this was the yellow fabric, I believe, is like upholstery fabric for a couch.
Wow.
Which is really cool because we throw away a lot of fabric that is just garbage. You know, I mean,
yeah.
A lot of it luckily is, you know, biodegradable, or not all of it, but some of it is, but a lot of it isn't.
Right.
And so it's amazing that he's able to make all of these cool things.
Oh, I love it.
Check out his website. He sells also just like ready to wear clothes that he just makes, like t-shirts that are all patchwork of different.
Wait, legit. What's his name? I'm
zero,
writing this down
like
right
zero,
now.
Zero, Z-E-R-O, and then Waste, W-A-S-T-E, and then Daniel, the usual way.
Zero Waste Daniel.
Zero Waste Daniel.
It. I'm going to look at that.
I love that.
And of course, I love Daya because she's Crystal's sister and she reminds me of Crystal. And Crystal
yeah.
Method is one of my favorite human beings on this planet. So
she's
that's
incredible.
All I have to say about that.
She's incredible. She seems amazing. I love this, you know, neon electronic mullet moment. It's a gag.
It is. And she sounds like Crystal.
Oh, she just, I mean, we'll talk about that too as we get in the set. But she's just the sweetest. And I'm like, what's the gag? What's the twist? Are the girls coming back? Because season 13, people got to hang out quite a bit. And didn't in your season everyone stayed like the first 2 weeks?
The first episodes we stayed, so that was a surprise, at least for the first episode.
Yeah,
we thought someone was going home.
Totally.
But yeah, we did send someone home both this week and last week on Drag Race.
There's probably going to be a way for them to get back in the competition, and they'll find some sort of fucking gag.
People always ask me, and like I haven't like bothered researching or finding out, so I'm just watching this all.
Spoilers.
The spoilers. Yeah, I had no idea who went in home until I watched it.
Guys. I hate to cut this short, but silence.
You could just reminisce for all
silence.
Day.
I'm sorry. We have to take a break. And then I guess we should talk about the episode. I don't know.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we come back. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try, because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, I bet you're a little intimidated of therapy. Be honest, I think we all are. It's kind of scary until you get into it and you realize, oh, holy shit, this is the land of Oz and I could be in the Emerald City all goddamn day long. That's what BetterHelp has done for me. It's put me in touch with a licensed professional therapist who is able to communicate with me in ways that people in my life can't. Don't just talk to your Judys, okay? Because your Judys can't be as direct as a licensed professional therapist can. And these therapists can talk to you in any way you like. You can chat, you can do video, you can do phone calls. It really helps me to have that malleability, and I know it'll help you too. So why not do that while saving money? Money that traditional therapy can't guarantee. That's right. BetterHelp gives it to you for cheaper, entirely online, conveniently, flexibly, suited to your schedule, mama. So go fill out the brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed professional therapist. Want to switch? Guess what? There's no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. Ooh, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Bring back my break.
But speaking isn't of there like a Reddit that spoils it all?
Yeah, there is.
There's like an insider Reddit that is just like, this is exactly what happens. This is...
And I can't... I can't believe people like that. Like, I'm like, what? Don't you like this show?
Such a bummer.
Don't you like to watch the show? Okay, Angeria Paris Van Michaels.
What a queen.
Wow.
I mean, the whole episode, I was just, I fell in love with her.
Yes.
I think she looks gorgeous. I love that this is, like this dress, what I love about it, A, she's smart in that she was like, okay, if I have to do a photo shoot, this skirt comes off. Like, you know, she knew what to do with this look. So she's smart queen, which is also, because by the way, we didn't know, I never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen on Drag Race. And so like for season 12, like my skirt that I was wearing, my little Mouseketeer outfit also was removable and I had a bodysuit as well. Because I was like, sure, you want me to do a sexy photo shoot? I'll make this Mouseketeer sexy. Like you have to think like that. And Jiria did. So I love a smart queen. She's also just beautiful and she's so funny. So good for her. That's
yeah.
my opinion.
She should be the new Minnie Mouse. I mean, like literally cancel Minnie Mouse, replace her with Angeria. She's perfect.
Ooh, this is a fun exercise. What can we cancel Minnie Mouse for?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
What can we cancel her for?
Let's go into Minnie Mouse's Twitter.
I think she's the kind of woman who's like, women should be women. Stay in the kitchen.
Yes, you're totally
right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh my God. She's you know, again, born in 1928. So, you know, she's in.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know. You keep writing her a pass, Jackie.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll think about it. But yeah, Minnie Mouse. Here's the thing. We all know Daisy is the better one. So let's just be honest with ourselves. Like, she doesn't get enough credit. Daisy is the one with the attitude, the sass. I feel like she's held more jobs than Minnie Mouse.
Way
I feel like she's
sex positive. Clearly.
Yeah, way more sex positive.
Yes.
And obviously there's amazing videos of her.
But we're going to find out that Daisy turned in her fellow tunes to the House on American Activities Committee. And like, no one ever talks about it.
No one ever talks about it. But you think like, she would?
It's going to be something like that where like you think she's brassy.
I mean, it would
cool,
obviously,
then, like,
it would be Scrooge turning them in. Because Scrooge is, you know,
Scrooge
money
McDuck.
Bags over there.
Oh, yes.
That's true. It would have been, you're right.
Scrooge is the anti-commie in
absolutely.
The
like, you're lucky to have me, Jobs. Yeah, fuck that guy. I hate him.
Giving him money.
You want to look into Clarabelle the Cow? That was a terrible.
Don't get me started on Clarabelle, because she doesn't believe in the vax. I'm sorry to say, but she's like.
In her defense, she's been pumped up with a lot of those cow hormones already. So
it's
been tough for Clarabelle.
It's trauma.
Cow.
It's still trauma, but you know. Lady Camden.
And Goofy is just QAnon.
Yes, he is.
You're killing me, Rachel.
Lady Camden, what do you think about this fucking raver neon candy bra moment?
I like it. However, I like it less because it was very similar to her performance look. And
it
so
was.
I wanted to see, you know, again, strategy. In this first episode, show me some variety. Show me like a bit of a range, you know.
Like her runway.
I'm assuming like you knew kind of what was up. Like, I'm sure they knew they were doing a talent show. Obviously, they had to prepare for these things. And
right.
So I would have loved to see, if this is your entrance look, which I love as a look, then I want the runway look to be different. Sorry, yes. I guess I should have said runway look, not performance.
The performance
was different. But the runway look is also very similar to this.
I agree.
And maybe she's selling a brand, but like the brand is, it's kind of like, okay, well, all drag queens want to be pop stars. So I didn't know if I...
It's a dangerous brand.
I didn't need that brand to be sold, like, hit over the... hit the nail? Whatever.
Yeah, like, hit over the head, beating a dead cow.
But I love this look as it is, and I liked this look more than the runway look, which is also says something, right? Because they're very similar palettes, and I liked this look more than her runway look. So that's...
Yeah. I agree. It's a risk, and I don't know if it's the right risk, because unlike... I don't know.
But the body is banging. Wow.
She's banging. And the hair I like, but it's
the hair is great. The outfit's beautiful. I just, my critique is that it was too similar to the runway outfit.
Yeah.
That's my critique.
There's a branding there, though, that's nice. There's a, like, yeah, this is who I am. There's a specificity to that identity that's fun.
I wish it had some the wink that Willow Pills has, because, like, Willow Pills is, like, kind of, like, dumb, but, you know, it says angle on her shirt. But this is just like, I'm kind of a dumb slut from Bonnaroo, or, you know.
I mean, with that body, I'd be a dumb slut too.
Same. And let's talk about it. Miss Maddie Morphosis.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Here comes the debate. Actually, before we have the debate, silence.
There's no debate. This hair is horrible. There's no debate. The hair is just... I mean, I'm assuming she knows that, right? I'm assuming, like, this was, like, intentional. Like, in my mind, it was intentional. Like,
it's almost not bad enough to be funny, is it?
I don't know what to tell you other than, like, I wish her well as a queen. And I think her moment in the workroom talking with Rue was lovely. And I do think there's place for people of all sexualities in drag. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's places for people with this wig in drag specifically.
Work.
I just really can't support this wig, especially with this outfit. Like,
yeah,
something about she looks like she's working at like some kind of like Best Buy that also sells race cars.
Yes. She's like paying homage to Guy Fieri, but I don't know if it's enough of a joke. Like, I don't, and again, I think the hair, Guy Fieri's hair is bigger than this. So I'm like, if you're making a joke on Guy Fieri, you should probably go bigger on, accentuate the joke of it.
Also, that's so, if you told me there's a straight drag queen, I'd be like, oh, they're going to do like what, a Guy Fieri inspired?
Maddie is bringing the straight references. I mean, guitars and burgers. I mean, come on.
And thank goodness, right? I felt bad for straight men. You know, I'm so glad they have this chance.
They're brave. And, actually, we got to take a break.
Okay, I know you want to take a break.
Okay, fine, we'll come back. Bring back my break. We're in the debate. Maddie Morphosis. Me and Rachel were on a Zoom last night talking about this, and our friend group is split.
We are very, Maddie. Very, yes.
The thing is, there's definitely room for straight people, I think. There's room for straight people in drag. There's room for everyone in drag. Rachel, we have to get you up in drag at some point. Like, whatever your next project is happening, there's going to be a drag moment, and it's going to be great. I think everyone should do drag, regardless of gender, sexuality,
I think,
as well. So there's definitely room for that. I just, I thought Maddie was fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
I appreciated Maddie's attitude, and he said some really nice things in Untucked, I felt, where he was like, look, not everyone, if you're going to do drag, you should respect the queer and support the queer community. I like these things he was saying, but yeah, you know, I'm still like hesitant. I don't think he's guilty yet. I always say innocent until proven guilty. I'm protective of a queer space, which I think everyone should be, but as of right now, I am still very curious and excited for his point of view.
I will say this too.
He seemed very respectful.
Yeah.
Well, and that's again, the most important thing is I think he is aware that he's in a queer space and is being respectful of that. And I do think it's interesting. I would have maybe preferred if he had been in the episode, perhaps with Carrie Colby, who's a very out, proud trans woman, and talking about her experience, which has also been underrepresented on this show. You know, who trans women have always been part of drag and I think have been underrepresented on this show. To Maddie's point, there are very, very few straight men in drag. So it would have been interesting to kind of see that their conversations, but that'll happen like in future episodes. More power to anyone to do drag. That's like my actual opinion is I think it's something everyone should do drag at some point. It doesn't mean that everyone will be great at it.
Yeah.
But everyone should do it for themselves. And if you find it brings out something in you and your artistry, and clearly the producers and directors saw something in Maddie and want to show that on the show. And so good for her. She should have this platform as much as anyone. And at least I'm glad that she's being respectful and acknowledging that it's a queer space. So that's, I think, important. But yeah, the entrance look was just really not it for me.
Yeah, not great. I liked her promo look a lot better, but yeah.
Promo look was very cool. And I also liked her talent look, the blues look. I think that was cool.
There's an interesting moment, obviously, it happens when Rue, you know, after the photo shoot, which I don't think we need to talk about except finding the Santino hat, which Maddie did not know who Santino was.
Yeah, clearly. She was very clueless. I was like, wow, okay.
I don't know who that is. But Rue ends Maddie by screaming, "You're straight." And
ends. Oh my God.
But I was like, yeah, you're on a TV show. I don't think it's a big deal for Rue to say that, because you signed up for a TV show. You knew we were going to talk about it. Thoughts?
For sure. And the behind the stage tea is they tell you what's. It seemed like she was genuinely shocked that Rue brought it up in that moment. But they do tell you like things that you're going to, you know, in your first day before you even meet the other girls. You do a whole day of interviews where you talk about everything about yourself. And, you know, you kind of can tell right away what the producers are honing in on you for from a story perspective. So it shouldn't come as a shock, because prior to that, she'd already been in interviews talking about being a straight person doing drag. So that shouldn't have been a surprise to her. But maybe in that way, you know, personally, I think it would have been better if she'd been allowed the chance to tell the girls herself, or maybe have it happen a little more organically with Daya asking her to talk about it, because they knew each other from before. So it was a little odd to me that Rue was the one to bring it up, but maybe Rue genuinely didn't know, because Rue isn't always watching us in the workroom. So maybe Rue had thought that it had already come up. Don't know. Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's good TV. It's good TV. I mean, I'm curious to see. I'm really excited to see how it shakes out. You know, I think Maddie's aware. Like, even Maddie in the promo, who was like, I'm gonna win. Like, I know Maddie doesn't think she's going to win the show. Because I think Maddie is even that respectful to be like, I'm here to share some of my art. I know I won't win, because if I win the show, the community will light itself on fire. You know?
Sure.
Sure. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Okay, should we talk about these talents?
Let's talk about talents.
Let's talk. Yeah. We have Miss Georges coming out first. I would love to share the screen with you, but VH1 won't let me. Georges comes out and does, you know, a song and dance pop lock pussy pop moment. What do we think?
I can tell you, Rue was living. I have not seen Rue this animated in a minute. Rue was
having
the best time of her life.
Yes.
Yeah, she really screamed "yes, bitch" at her about 8 times.
She really
And it's
really
also
loved
if you're
it.
Gonna if your talent is gonna be a lip sync, then you really need to fucking knock it out of the park.
Right.
And she knocked it out of the fucking park.
Yeah, she did, and I think it was clear that they wanted to set her up against Jasmine, because they put Jasmine right afterwards, who did kind of a similar thing, and it was like,
yes,
you know, you can kind of tell that. It seems to me that they were trying to have the audience and the judges directly compare the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, based on that performance, Georges was incredible. But Jasmine was also great, too. So it's like it's when you put those two kind of similar performances back to back, which is not how you would structure a real talent show. Right?
Absolutely
like different
not.
Kinds of acts.
I bet they weren't even filmed back to back. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But it's I thought it was interesting that they put those back to back, because they wanted us, the audience, to root for Georges for whatever reason. So that was definitely something like, and again, they choose to show Rue's reactions. They choose to show how much of her to put in, you know what I mean? Because they can always cut away from her and not show her sound, but they cut to her to show you. So they definitely, you know, all of us forget like how much bias there is in how we perceive things based on what they show us, right? And it doesn't mean that it's, you know, quote, blame it on the edit, but it's that, okay, I always watch the show and thinking like, oh, what are they trying to tell me? What are they trying to show me? And I think in this moment, they were directly trying to show us, Georges nailed this, Jasmine's wasn't as good, which I think in real life, I don't think I would have thought that. I would have kind of separated them in my mind more than the way that they showed it on the show.
they lead the witness so much in the show. Like, it surprises me that the editing hasn't evolved a little bit as the years go on, because it's still like they still cut eyes back and forth. Like when Maddie's like, "I'm straight," they like cut eyes to someone who's clearly just like,
"Oh my gosh,"
just like touching their nails, right? But they cut to them being like, "Ew, gross." And it's like, that was not when that happened. We understand that's not when that happened.
I don't think people do understand that. I think people also like forget, like pay attention when the queens are talking about things, what kind of music they play under them. Like, are they giving them that triumphant music when they're talking about whatever their experience is? You know, there's always like that, musically, the show leads you in certain ways. And then also what they actually show.
There's a lot of music.
So, but I thought Georges, you know, to go back to the show itself, Georges was great.
Amazing.
And I also think Jasmine was great. I think those two things were both, they both did really well at what they came to do.
Yeah. The jumping, the pussy popping, the flattening. It was all great. And then I think after that, I mean, I don't even totally remember, but we'll just say, let's just talk about after that. Maybe it could have been Miss Diabetti. Diabetti did a lip sync to Pink's "I'm Coming Out." And, you know, Rue did warn her about it. What do we think about this lip sync?
Well, first of all, I have to say before we talked about this a little bit last night, but when Diabetti, two things. Well, Diabetti was like, "I have diabetes type 1. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like there's a subconscious need to be like, Rue, I'm not fat. I have the like, I have the you know, the not
genetically
fat diabetes.
Predisposed to it, yeah.
I as opposed to type two, which I don't know.
I also feel like it was like dangling candy in front of the producers. You know what I mean? Being like, I could pass out if you keep me.
So that's the second thing I worried about is I worried about the, if Diabetti were on, them doing something to try to make Diabetti pass out.
Yes. It was wild. I mean, yeah, but lip sync, it wasn't the most successful lip sync I've ever seen, but
it's also a hard song to do. I mean, it's a power ballad in and it's just very not, you know, the thing. Katy Perry, for whatever it's worth, gave me a lot to work with in Firework. I think Alicia Keys is just so much more direct in this song, and it's like, "I'm falling in and out of love with you." That's the whole song.
Oh yeah, and I meant in the Pink one. I mean, no, "Fallen" is so hard.
But as I'm saying, like, it's a that's the song. And so, like, I think Daya, you know, cutting to the end, like, it was a tough assignment. But back to her performance, I mean, the judges are right. It could, just couldn't needed to be something a little bit more. So,
like, a few more gags in there.
A few more gags. I think too, it took Crystal, you know, her sister, a long time to step into her own power. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it wasn't really until the the commercial challenge, when she did the magic mullet, she was like, "Okay, I see what these judges want. They want me to be all versions of me, firing on all cylinders." And it takes a while to kind of get that confidence. I think if she'd been doing this back in Springfield, Missouri, with like her family and been able to pull all the tricks. And the thing is, that family is so creative. They'll make things out of cardboard boxes. And, you know, you've seen Crystal's mind, and like that whole family is like that. They're drag family. And so if she'd had those kind of like resources and tools and family kind of there supporting her, I think it could have been a cool act.
Yeah.
But yeah, as it was probably just a little lackluster. And I do think the song choice was not it. I don't think "Party Started Pink" was the right song choice for this. I almost would have rather they'd been like, "Hey, I'm not going to lip sync to anything. Play some of this, you know, royalty free doo-doop, doo-doop kind of music under me." And like, I think it would have been, because we would have just been focused on the little gags in her performance, and less like, "Are you selling us this song?" Which she definitely wasn't selling.
No.
"Let's Get This Party Started."
It's tough. What do you think, Rage?
The pink choice, I agree, was a little perplexing, and like, I couldn't tell what the bit was. There were, I think, too few jokes or pops of magic specificity to be like, "Oh, okay, that's what this is."
Right. Which, speaking of, we should talk about Deja Sky, because Deja Sky also does like a comedic cheerleader routine.
Oh no! Yeah.
And it,
this was such a skit. This was such a camp skit, and not camp in a good way. I mean, like summer camp.
Yeah. Well, the right ending, just, right? I mean, the right ending would have been if she would have like actually then like been like, look, I can't do a somersault. Look, I can't do this. And then like the music hits and she's like the most incredible cheerleader you've ever seen.
That's
yes,
funny.
Exactly. That's what I fucking wanted. I wanted her to seem bad mm-hmm. or some twist, but just being bad at a thing mm-hmm. when you already seem like you're bad at the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it's weird because narratively, right, she told us she was a cheer coach. So I'm like waiting for her to like really wow me, because if I'm a, you know, 13-year-old little cheerleader monster, I want my cheer coach to be able to do everything that you're asking me to do. And then for her to be like, this is my somersault. It's like, right, the setup and the payoff were not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was going to say, if you're going to go super funny, I would have expected more physical gag, because she kind of gave us two, right? Like the weird jump and the weird, I'm like, honestly, I think she could have gone dummy legs. Like, you know what I mean? Like those little dummy legs you put on your waist or something.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. There wasn't a pattern, right? Because I think with all comedy, we talk about pattern. What's the pattern? And like two things is not a pattern.
I have the sense that either the reason she thought she was funny, this was funny, was either there's some sort of joke among the people she coaches that like, oh, she can coach, but she can't do the moves. And maybe that's some sort of like inside joke that they have. Mm-hmm. And they're like, do a bad somersault. Or sometimes when you're really good at a thing, like I feel like this happens with dancers in general. Like the thing that's funny to dancers or cheerleaders is just like, what if it was bad? And there's a little bit of like, oh my God, I'm going to do like bad cheerleading because I'm actually so good at it. Mm-hmm. And that actually not being funny.
Yeah.
Well, but again, that would have been funnier if we would have known that she was good, or she would have proven to us that she
right.
could do it. I mean, the other option I think could have been like to make commentary about it, you know, and she kind of didn't give us that either. Like, you know, like, and here's my somersault, Michelle, this is what, you know, I know going to bed with you is, that's a horrible joke, but like whatever the mm-hmm. whatever the commentary could have been is, I mean, I have no idea what would have made it funnier, but it.
Yeah, no, I hear you, like a context, like I almost feel like she's like, now when back in 1991, I was the world's best cheerleader and I've been out
and
of
here's
practice.
Here's where I am today. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I think I can still pull it off. Like the context of like, why, who are you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, she didn't get to see RuPaul's number from last week, but she could have been like, and you know what? Just like RuPaul, I can show you that you don't have to be able to dance to perform. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like that, people would have gagged, you know? And she could have just said that anyway. It's
where's my
very
tombstone?
True.
I mean, fucking put me in the ground. You just deceased me. Okay, well, silence. I think we're taking some kind of a break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it, but now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, Diva. So why should payday? Yes, I'm a robotic bitch. And the one thing that makes this robot go cuckoo ca-choo is money. Not tomorrow, today. And guess who helps with that? Earnin. That's right. Earnin will put the money in your hands today. You can get $100 per day or 750 buckarooskies per pay period. All you have to do is download the Earnin app, verify your paycheck. You get access to $100 a day as you work. And you can do it from absolutely anywhere in the darn world. That's why I love Earnin. It makes money easy because, you know, sometimes your employers act a fool, okay? Yeah, it's like they're in the Untucked Lounge and they're acting a fool girl. So whether it's for a special night out, you want to treat your loved one, an unexpected bill from the vet, yikes, or rent, bitch, you can use Earnin to your advantage. Make it a part of your financial routine. Join the over 3.5 million customers who say, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Plus, peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Drag Her Under Podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's Drag Her Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Thank you to Angie for sponsoring this HeadGum podcast. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well.
Indeed. So if you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need.
Yeah, doing stuff yourself seems fun, but then you actually get to, you know, solving a problem and you realize that you can create 10 more problems, and then you probably should have just paid a professional to deal with it right off the bat.
You can easily injure and or maim yourself as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. You just get the app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. It's very convenient.
It sure is, folks, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
So download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Thank you, Angie.
Angie.com.
Thank you.
I'm good. Yeah, here we go. We're back.
Do you think Lizzo was there for that number, or did they steal Lizzo reactions from something else?
Well, I don't know about Lizzo, but I do know that Nicki Minaj did miss a good chunk of episode one.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that of season 12.
Copy that.
So we waited for her for a long time, and she did not. She arrived late.
Okay.
We'll say that.
I see.
So did she see your verses? Did she see you dance?
I believe so. She's because we did I'm That Bitch first, and she was there for that. And then she decided to take an extended lunch break. And I believe she missed the runway.
Okay.
So she came out for the judges' critique. So she saw all of our looks. You know what I mean? So if you're going to miss something, I guess, you know, chill during the runway. But
Funny.
But I have no idea about Lizzo. I mean,
but Lizzo's like a real fan. Like she's been on the
I would imagine Lizzo would be
before.
There the whole time. Like the cameras break and she's like, running backstage. Like I would imagine Lizzo would have been there the whole time.
You could see that. Okay, wait. We didn't talk yet about Miss Lady Camden's talent show. Very center stage. Doing some ballet in the heels. What'd we think?
It's not ballet if you're in heels, is it?
I said the same.
The same thing.
Mono heard me
you
rant about this
thing.
Last night, but I'll redo my rant,
Go off, sis.
Okay. If you're going to do ballet in heels, you have to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to be ballet in heels, then the music has to be ballet-y. If you're both putting on heels and you're playing
disco
contemporary music, it's just a lip sync, maybe with a couple ballet touches, and you happen to be wearing a leotard. You have to pick one, because otherwise it's not really ballet.
It's not ballet at all. I mean, to me,
and
it
those
was jazz.
Were jazz turns. Those were also jazz turns. Those weren't. I'm not a great. I'm not great at ballet, but like that pirouette, that was a jazz pirouette. Those PK turns those were like jazz PK turns.
Rachel, so I have a feeling you and I have been in enough advanced beginner musical theater mover classes to confirm.
100%.
Yes.
Because I'm not good. I can't do a fucking regular pirouette. I can barely do a jazz pirouette. But I know that if you're going to do it right, that leg has got to be, you know, it's got to be forming a triangle. And I just made that up. No one ever told me that that's how you do it. But so it was like, that wasn't a song in heels done to a contemporary, doing a contemporary lip sync in heels with then like jazz technique put onto some ballet moves is not a ballet dance.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. And I do think it was interesting because she did kind of a little self-commentary in her expression at the end of the song, which I thought was interesting. A, that they kept it, and B, that she did it. Was she kind of went like this, like a hope you liked it kind of face at the end, which I thought was interesting because to me it seemed like Rue appreciated that, at least the way they showed it in the edit. Like Rue kind of like has like a knowing smile after she sees like Lady Kim and be like, hope you liked my ballet, which is kind of like the face she made, which I thought was an interesting choice because I was like, what is like... What is to me like that, like never apologize for your work, and it felt like she was apologizing for what she was doing, and so I thought it was A, interesting that she did that, and B, that they kept it, or that no one made a comment about it, but she was kind of apologizing for what she did again after all this setup of I don't know if Rue likes ballet, you know, and again a very bizarre thing to keep in the edit.
That that's why I thought she was apologizing for Rue being like, oh, you're doing ballet, I hate ballet.
Yeah. Rue literally said, I've been to the ballet twice and I didn't like it. I was like,
Why would you? I think that she's done that a couple other times where someone's like, I'm going to do, was it mime? And Rue's like, oh, or someone's like, I'm going to do clowning. And Rue's like, oh, I hate clowning. Yeah. Oh, I hate it. Interesting. I hate that.
Yeah, it's a good trick. RuPaul, I mean, more and more lately, she's just like, I don't care if I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to scream at you like, that's a bad idea. That's a really bad idea. Who are you doing for Snatch Game? That's a stupid idea, but go off. Okay, we should talk about Miss Maddie Morphosis and the electric guitar.
Sounded beautiful.
Sounded lovely. I'm surprised it didn't go somewhere a little bit more. Like,
I thought she was going to sing, and then she didn't, and I was waiting for her to sing.
Do we mind the Paula Poundstone two-piece suit? Do we mind it? Do we live for it?
I liked it, and I thought she looked pretty. I certainly like this more than the entrance look. I liked this a lot more than the entrance look. So I was appreciative that the bus driver wig was left on the bus with Santino's hat. To me, an improvement. Again, I think playing a live instrument is... I can like barely play the piano after 5 years of lessons when my mom made me do it. So I'm always impressed when people can do that. But sure, I wanted something maybe a little bit more. Even if it wasn't a good live vocal, blues is, you know, you can kind of talk sing it a little, but
it made me laugh because the straight version of guitar versus Alyssa Hunter's gay version of guitar, it was very funny to see. Like, this is what a straight person does with guitar.
I will say this. I like this more than Alyssa's guitar performance.
I have to agree.
This was by far the straightest thing I've ever seen on Drag Race.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy... This is just every... There's always that one guy at a party who's like, oh, is that a guitar in the corner? Yeah. Oh, wow. Do you mind if I just like fuck around on it? I don't know. Like, see, and then like they play Good Riddance because it's like the one song they know on guitar.
Yes. My brother used to play the beginning of Come As You Are by Nirvana just for any girl. He would just play the beginning of Come As You Are.
And this is what set it up to me as Maddie, is like Maddie Morphosis is completely respectful of the space. Maddie Morphosis is just a guileless being herself, like not trying to. It would be different if she was super like cutting people off in conversation and then almost doing an impression of how a gay person sounded and really trying to like be strategic and I don't know, like appropriate mannerisms, but like, no, Maddie Morphosis is just like super straight.
Yes.
And
what's interesting is
for whatever reason loves drag because she watched Tu Wong Fu a lot.
Which is very cute. And I think the thing is her drag is pretty feminine in presentation, but she doesn't have a lot of femininity in her. So it's interesting, like in her movements or mannerisms or voice or any of that, you know. And to Rachel's point, it is like, wow, what if that guy at that party just decided to be in drag and play you a song?
We've all done improv, right? So I'm like, she just reminds me of one of these sexless improv losers. And I include myself in that group.
God.
I'm sorry. That's I include so myself in that group. Like when you're like, oh yeah, you're like, you're a weird comedy guy who's
wait,
like,
that is so funny because my college girlfriends all have this like thing where they're like, we don't know why, but we think guys who do improv are so hot.
Yes.
They loved it. I mean, the girls that I went to college with were like all about the improv guys. They like made up a song about how improv guys are hot, but maybe your experience is different. I guess.
No, I'm with you. Like, there's something. I think it's part of the sexual. How do I put this? What's the difference? The opposite of combustible. You're sexually
inert.
I have. I mean, look. I met my husband doing comedy, so I've only ever dated either basically improv guys or musical theater guys. So I'm all about the sexual.
Me too.
Are they into sex or are they not into sex? I like it because it's like, ooh, do they like sex? Well, look at my pussy. Yeah.
No, my boyfriend right now is he's a fucking loser and it turns me on so much.
Oh my God. This poor guy.
He is a dweeb. He's edgeless. What else?
Does it turn you on because you're like, he's otherwise not turned on, but like, I'm so fucking hot that I can get him sexual.
It's the, you know what it is? It's the opposite of bullshit. That, I guess that's what it is to me. It's like, you are so authentic because to me, like being alpha and all that stuff, like that's like bullshit to me. Whereas like being like a real person, cause like masculinity is gross to me, is like, yes, that is sexy and real and I love it.
Well, I guess if we're saying that cool is like based on like patriarchal heteronormative ideas, like I just don't even think that's cool anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just don't even like think of people who aren't those things as not cool because I've already like decided in my mind that like
Yes. The
performance of being a cool guy is not cool.
Totally.
Because it's a performance. Like no one is like, hey, like there's no guy totally. Just like hanging out in like a leather jacket smoking a cigarette. Like that's a choice for someone to do all those
totally.
Things, right?
I mean, you're reminding me of a lot of straight guys in musical theater who that is 100% their fucking
thing. And
they
talk like in this like, you know, it's like a little vocal fry. And
I just want to be like super clear that I like pussy.
Yes.
I'm really cool.
And they always have like what one wet bang right here. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, gross.
Okay. Angeria's talent show. Let's talk about it really quick.
Hands down, favorite thing. Loved it. Best thing in the show.
Yes.
I think so entertaining. I was so entertained. I was so incredibly entertained. Yes. I just loved it.
It's a drag show.
I just loved it. It was a drag show. And, you know, I think it also reminded us that, like, yes, she did, like, a death drop, but it wasn't really about the tricks. It was about the performance.
Yes.
And the lyrics and just her selling the song, which is what drag is. You know, people are like, Jackie, you can't do a death drop. And I'm like, yeah, but I still won two lip syncs. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, you don't have to have those tricks, you know? And so, while yes, Georges did all those tricks beautifully and amazingly, and we love that as well. Like, this was, to me, more entertaining, and I thought a very well-deserved win.
Agree. I loved it. It was like, I think if you're doing the CNTs, if you're doing this, do drag or do something so weird, it's refreshing. Like, literally do drag or... Right. Eat whipped cream off of a hot dog.
You said the CNTs like it's a real thing. If I get cast, if I'm in next year's CNTs, this is my...
I'm a CNT queen. I'm a ward culture queen. Just the drag talent show. Even in the All-Stars ones, right? It's like, do drag or do something, shave a balloon. Do something super weird.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty pro the CNTs replacing the Golden Globes.
Absolutely.
I mean, at least the CNTs got on TV this year.
Thank you.
Oh, bless them. They did.
Bless
them.
Okay, wait, really quick. We're going to talk about this runway after this break. Bring back my break.
You can get a discount on BetterHelp if you use code DRAGHER.
That's
code DRAGHER for BetterHelp. Take charge of your life. You deserve it.
10% off the first month, and that is only for our listeners. Only. You won't hear it on any
podcast.
Well, this is the only Drag Race podcast. So
it's exciting.
If they want to hear about drag, and deal with their own mental health, then BetterHelp is a great option for
them. It is. It is. And if you think there's another Drag Race podcast, you do need help. Because you're mentally sick. You're mentally sick. Okay. I can't. Okay. I'm going to hit play. I can't go back, but I'm going to hit play. I can't go
just
back.
Just hit play.
Okay. Okay.
Just hit play.
But before this was Georges. Remember Georges? Purple coat.
I loved the purple mesh. With the tearaway. Stunned.
Chirp. We chirp and burp on this pod, Jackie.
I thought
tell
it was
me.
Beautiful. I thought yes. It was stunning. It's, you know, she looked just really flawless. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, again, smart girl, because she knew if she was in the bottom that she could have waited to do that reveal and done it during the lip sync for Your Life. And I think people forget, like, they tell us very specifically in no uncertain terms when we're preparing our runway looks, you must be able to lip sync in your runway looks. Mm-hmm. And even though I think she knew she was in the top, so she just did the reveal on the runway. But it's always something, you know, save those reveals if you think you're in the bottom, you know, because she could literally do anything in that cat suit. And then, but at the same time, it was also a stunning gown when she walked. So, like I said, I always see when the girls are thinking, and I love a girl who's thinking.
Right. Poor girl, what are they going to do when she gets trapped in one of the mouse traps on set? What are they going to do?
Oh my God. Because she's tiny?
That's a tiny joke. Okay. It's a chirp, right, Rach? I don't know.
Are you proud of yourself for that? You're going to leave this? Are you going to like leave this podcast and be like, Gene, I have to tell you what I just said.
I'm very proud. I'm very proud. Yes, I need better help. Okay, hit play. here we go. Miss Deja Sky, what do we think?
I think this is very beautiful.
So pretty.
I think it's very pretty. And I think, you know, this... And again, saving the tearing off the losing of the coat for the lip sync was smart, right? So I think you use what you have. She waited to reveal that, you know, it's also a stunning outfit without the cape jacket thing for the lip sync, which is cool. You know, I think that's smart. It's beautiful. Yeah, that's my thought.
It's stunning. Black and blue. Chirp for me.
It's chirp.
Chirp. Here as well.
Jasmine Kennedy, gold 60s lame. What do we think? Pageant. What about that felt forehead?
Oh. Gorgeous.
I think this is...
we were talking about boobs on the Zoom last night because I think I showed you all my boobs.
Yes. And they're stunning.
And then...
Stunning, right? But, I mean, I think you were like famously known for your boobs, which I'm not saying that to objectify you, but I feel like that's something that's like in the known universe.
Yes.
It is in canon. But I was specifically showing like my, cause I had a breast reduction scars and Nicole went, I'm sorry to clarify, you had those reduced? This is after a reduction.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jasmine Kennedy's, breasts reminded me of my own in that moment.
Yes.
I have now become such a breastplate queen, not because I necessarily like them. Like, I have ones that are just like normal size. Like, I don't have really big ones just because I don't want to shave my chest anymore. Because
underneath
all
this,
I am a very hairy Middle Eastern.
Yes.
So, and you're, it's just like, Rachel, and now I've showed you my boobs. So.
You're cutie in both gender expressions.
God, gorgeous.
Yes. So I think, you know, smart, I breastplate smart, especially, she did a great job hiding it. I think it's interesting. I've noticed in the UK show, and I don't know if this is UK drag or something, like the girls don't even attempt to hide the seams of the breastplate. They're like running around like,
yeah,
with like all the seams everywhere, which, you know, maybe that's just a cultural thing. But I think she did a great job hiding the seams, which to me matters. I'm not saying I always do a great job of it, but I love that she did that. I think the dress is pretty. I think one thing that was tough for me is because the cape was the exact same fabric as the dress. Uh-huh. It was hard, sometimes hard to see the silhouette, and part of that's also the way the lights in the camera are. But certain angles I could tell what was happening in the dress, and other angles it was like, is this just a gold blob? You know, it's one of those things where if the cape had been, I don't know what, lighter, darker, I could have maybe seen like her shape a little bit better. Because
also even like lined, if there was a liner on the
cape. Yeah, because the gold is like a champagne-y gold that's very similar to her skin tone, which again, it's all very beautiful, but like, I'm almost like, what if she'd taken off the cape? Then I could have seen her body a little bit more. That was just a thought.
Yes. It's gorgeous, but I won't remember this look in a couple weeks.
No. That's okay.
Then that's okay. Drag is hard. It's still a chirp. Felt foreheads. Wow, they're back.
20 seasons a year, so
right.
We do what we can.
Maddie Morphosis's headless Marie-Antoinette. I love it. I do love
concept
it.
Concept is great. I think the execution is good. I think that the choice of material for this Marie Antoinette dress is not good.
Mm-hmm.
I like if you imagine if the head wasn't on, she wasn't holding the head. Mm-hmm. What would you think of this runway outfit and the hair?
Yeah, the dress is weird. Mm. Yeah, the dress is very curtains from a South Carolina diner.
Exactly right. I think. It's like, again, the concepts, and she's doing executed so well, and the silhouette's perfect, and the head is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just be like, wait a minute. The dress itself is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. She's getting points for execution for sure. And I mean that literally.
Great, and it's funny. And it's funny. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen this bit. This is like a Halloween costume bit where it looks like
you're
carrying your own head, right? But I like the twist that it's Marie Antoinette carrying her own head. So I think it's very cool. I think I'm maybe unfairly comparing it to recent season of UK Circus Freak Challenge.
Oh, Pythia in Canada. Pythia on Canada.
Like, I'm comparing it to that where it's like, I've never seen that before.
When that was executed
this, like,
so well, and I thought Pythia's makeup was incredible, and yes. Everything was done so well. So yeah, if you compare these two, which is like kind of like a sight gag,
yeah.
I still believe the gag, but the details of the dress for me are really like this dress, if she wasn't holding her head, she'd be red for filth for this dress, because this dress is not cute.
That's true.
Like, yeah.
The flats could be better too. I understand they have to be flats too, because she's like holding her legs. But
wait, because she looks shorter than this, like, Halloween costume.
She's bent over. Holding her legs.
Right.
Punched over.
Like
holding
underneath her, like, quads, if you will, and then walking.
She's walking
that way.
Like this.
Like, oh, like squatting almost.
Yeah, she's like in a squat, and she's like this.
Yeah.
She's like, as I'm demonstrating on the Zoom, the audience won't see. But she's literally,
it's
she's
shame,
like,
it's
you
a perfect
know.
Demonstration.
I was, and then her hands are like up here, right? So she's.
Yeah.
She's doing that kind of a thing. And then I'm assuming it's a backpack that has the mannequin.
Yeah.
So there's like a backpack that's holding up the mannequin, and then the dress goes on over it.
Okay.
That's
great. And Dita Von Teese is mad that she stole this look from her. Fun fact on the internet, floating around the internet.
Oh, well, actually, can you pull up Dita's so we can look at it? Because I bet Dita's had a little bit better dress. But let's
probably.
Look.
Probably.
We can look at it later. But I'm
okay,
just.
Okay, I'll find it. I can't mess with VH1.com or else
we'll
watch
Blue
Bloods.
Don't change it.
Again.
We'll watch Blue Bloods for the rest of our lives.
Angeria, Paris Van Michaels. Chocolate
it's
ruby red.
So beautiful.
This is perfect. I love
I
this
think
color.
It is. But see what I'm saying about the contrast of the cape?
Yes.
When she just held open her cape, you can still see the silhouette of her body because
perfect.
It's a different material. It's a little darker. So then her body really shines in the middle and you see those beautiful curves and swerves.
The dimensions and types of red.
The dimension is beautiful. The face is stunning. I mean, she's such a, just so, wow.
Nails.
I mean, it's. She's really giving it to you. And then on top of it, you know, in this episode, you find out just how funny and charming she is. It's like. At this point, you know, she clearly won this episode in many ways, not just for the talent, but just, you know, for just being all around beautiful and charming and funny.
Mm-hmm. Chirp. Caw-caw. Love it.
She's amazing. I'm really, when someone has this level of, like, personality and humor and they're just, like, fucking knocking everything else out of the park, it's such a joy.
Yeah. Lady Camden. Giving us Burning Man, Mirage, if you will, Peacock Tress, Flamingues. I don't know what bird this is.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but it's like, if the assignment is show us who you are, I guess she did. Like, because mm-hmm. this is very similar to her entrance look, at least color palette wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same, like, the bright cotton candy peak hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kind of, like, icy tones.
Manic pixie girl.
Like, yeah, very, like, music festival, mm-hmm. you know, the earmuffs or headphones, whatever they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, like I said in the beginning, I like the entrance look more, even though this does have the gag of the peacock feathers. For some reason, it to me, it looked like the the girl at the music festival who's like, look at this outfit I brought from him.
I think like, she literally like, said that on the runway.
Right. So good for her. I mean, I think she did what she wanted. Maybe not. I'll leave it at as that. I like the entrance look more.
Yeah, I'm going to burp it. I just don't like it. I don't know. It's silly. I almost thought she would have been in the bottom for this, personally. But it's still pretty. I just was like, I don't know if I care about this.
Yeah. And maybe if we, yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's still an elevated, stunning drag. I mean, the jewels.
It's beautiful, and her makeup's so gorgeous, and the body is still banging, and the mechanically it all worked, like the feathers all popped up. You know, we've seen that not happen on the show before, where the gag doesn't even work, and then it's even worse. But this worked, and she definitely did what she wanted to do. Again, it just also here. Actually, this is what's bothering about it is I associate this kind of a look with music festival culture, and I associate music festival culture with straight culture.
Yes,
like
yes,
I think
yes.
I think of this as like a very straight person's thing. Like
I think I'm feeling the same thing.
Even though I know there are queer people who go to these kind of festivals, and there certainly are queer women who dress like this, and queer men who dress like this, and queer non-binary people who dress like this. I just associate this kind of thing with like, this isn't for us.
It's almost like praising straight culture.
But again, that's just in my head. Like, I don't know if there's anything actually like inherently straight about music festivals. I just think of them as like, oh, this is the chance for straight people to wear fun things. Whereas like in my life, I can wear something fun any night at the club, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if
maybe what this also needed is like, I'm a little bit of like, I'm that dumb bitch at a music festival as opposed to you could wear this to a music festival, as you were saying, and fit right in, as opposed to like, I'm that dumb whore at a music festival whose hat gets in the way of seeing the stage.
Right.
And I took too much Molly and I'm
like some storytelling
fucking loser.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe she's like covered in bubble foam. You know what I mean? Like, and almost like half of her, like that would give like, oh, like there's like a little bit of humor here to this like party festival girl.
Mm. Yeah. Like this, you could just see it like, I mean, or even like Burning Man. I mean, I know that it's perceived as straight culture, but I've never been to a music festival.
I haven't either. But I also don't perceive you as part of straight culture.
Same.
You know what? I don't perceive myself as part of straight culture either. And
you literally did a musical theater television show for multiple seasons on TV.
Jackie, that is maybe one of the top five biggest compliments I've ever gotten is that I'm not part of straight culture. That what a fucking high honor. That's great.
I thought you knew.
I don't know. I assume, but it's nice to hear.
It is nice. Diabetti! My God, this wig is gorgeous.
The wig is truly stunning. The outfit's beautiful.
Yes.
And as we see later, the problem is that this is not an outfit that's easy to lip sync in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of those things where that's the way the cookie crumbles, right? You know, you gotta...
That rip.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if, because there's a rip in the back, if she should have put some more rips in it and made it more of a thing.
Yeah. Oh, the rip. That's right. Yeah.
Big rip. I don't know. It really is gorgeous. I love that it's strappy. It's platty. They call it punky. And it is. The hair is unbelievable. But
Very like Vivian Westwood, like drag Vivian Westwood. I see that.
Yes. Yes. I'll try.
I have a question later about the lip sync, but we'll get to the lip sync.
Let's talk about it because I have had y'all on Zoom for too long and I feel bad.
So there's a moment in the lip sync where she appears to scratch herself and draw blood. Mm-hmm. Is that a gimmick or did she inadvertently scratch herself and draw blood?
I thought it was a gimmick.
It's a gimmick.
I think it was a gimmick. I'm 90% sure, but it wasn't all over her.
Yeah.
And it was just one kind of quick moment as opposed to like really all over her.
I wonder
face
how she did it.
She could have
just like dipped her fingernails in like red lipstick and done that. You know, like she could have done a couple lines.
Yeah.
I also was alarmed at first. I was like, oh no, did she hurt herself? Oh, it must be.
I got worried that she, like, in the adrenaline of the moment, fucked herself up.
Totally.
We'll have to read the exit interviews to determine the truth. But I would guess she just, you know, you have an idea that you're going to be in the bottom before you go, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, like, the only thing I ever did was right before the Kill the Lights lip sync with Heidi, I, like, ran and got knee pads and put them underneath my jumpsuit I was wearing. So I was like, I think I'm lip syncing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was an option. People always ask me this. Firework, there was an option for that thing to be a reveal, mm-hmm. but I didn't. I decided not to do that, A, and I didn't. Yeah, I just decided that wasn't what I was going to do.
Right.
But the designer, the designer built that into the look, you know, and that's why the designer just decided to do that without, you know, knowing what was going to happen or anything. So yeah, I don't know if she decided to do that right, like she, like, you know, right before Untucked, she just like grabbed some red lipstick and just like, you know, put it on her nail so that she would have it. I don't know. You know, you don't know.
Yeah. How far in advance do you get the lip sync songs?
We get them, at least on my season. I don't know if it's been the same way for every season. We had an iPod full of a bunch of songs, more songs than we used in the show. And the people always think like they decide like right away once they know who's in the bottom two. But no, they decide the minute we leave after de-dragging from the previous episode. So after we erase the lipstick message and the, they show the de-dragging, then they give us the lip sync for the next episode. Mm-hmm. So we have like 2 days to like really focus in and learn it.
So after it, and I should know this. I feel like this has been said on the show before, but after you film a runway day, do you have a day off after?
Depending on the day of the week. So Saturday and Sunday are non-camera days. That doesn't mean we have the day off. Mm. So if, usually we film every episode, at least in season 12, we filmed every episode in 2 days. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are two episodes. And then Friday to Monday is also an episode. And usually those Friday to Monday episodes are when we do a bigger episode, like a Rusical or something. And we'll do an off-camera day
for rehearsal as well.
So we have like we have no time off. We're so excited. We're so exhausted. You don't have a day.
Oh my God, that's awful. So there's no day off.
We have like, we had Sunday off for sure almost every week. And then every other week we would have the full weekend off. But it's never really off because they give you homework. They tell you what the lip sync is or they'll give you a preview to what the next challenge is. Sometimes depending on the challenge, like for example, they asked us to pitch to tell them the things we were going to be advertising with for the advertisement challenge 2 episodes in advance so that the props department could make them. Wow. So we had to like decide what those things were ahead of time and like tell the people to make them. So like they could have my Merkins, they could have like Crystal's mullets, they could have all those things by the time we filmed the episode.
Of course.
So there's no downtime. You get home after 10. Someone's pounding on your door at 7 a.m. to wake you up, and in between then you're working on a lip sync or the next challenge whatever.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's that's why by the end we're so like cuckoo. Like I would cry I would cry like at the drop of a hat. Like you're so exhausted and running on adrenaline, and because each challenge uses a different part of your brain, you know, you go from like designing to like writing a one woman show to improv to singing and dancing. Like your brain is creatively stretched in so many different directions off of a really short period of time and in a really high adrenaline environment that I was having trouble like forming sentences after filming season 12. Like my partner was like, it's hard to talk to you because my ability to speak was like incapacitated from the frying that my brain had gone through from doing the show.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's like, I mean, it's sleep deprivation. It's like you're training to be a fabulous Navy SEAL.
Right.
Yeah. It's cuckoo. I mean, something like we made fun of Aiden a little bit in our season because she was sleeping a lot. Like she would sleep in the workroom all the time. But by the end, we were all sleeping. Like the minute the cameras were down, I was asleep. Like I got in full the kitty cat quick drag for that mini challenge and I didn't really know what I was going to do. I just put on this cat outfit and I fell asleep sitting in full cat drag waiting for whatever them to set up the litter box. And in my dream, I dreamed that I was Eartha Kitt and I woke up and went on to the litter box and decided I was Eartha Kitt. Because I was delirious. Like, I didn't know what was happening. And I was like, well, it happened in a dream. It's probably a good idea. I literally, like, dreamed it and then did it. Because what else do you have to go on? Your mental facilities are gone.
Oh, my God.
This is crazy. This is like Shutter Island shit. This is like edge of sanity. Are you awake? Are you dreaming? Nightmare shit.
This is a great idea for a horror movie.
Yes. Yes.
That you're on some sort of reality show and you're sleep deprived and you can't, there's like a black swan, there's a kind of dark comedic black swanness to
reality. Reality, you do lose, like, I mean, and I, again, I think of myself as a very rational person and I access my rational mind as much as I can, but you lose a little bit of grip of reality doing the show because you just, it's, you're constantly, you know, on. And like, mm-hmm. you wake up every morning and you're on set by 8. And before Rue even gets there, you're in your interview outfit talking about the next day or the previous day. Or sometimes you're back revisiting things from a few episodes ago they didn't get you to talk about. So that happens. And that's the first part of the day. And then whatever happens with Rue happens. And then, you know, it's all, you know, you're just trying to hold it together and you're just trying to muscle through.
Yeah.
And then, again, also at some point you just surrender. Like by the last few episodes, I just kind of was like, hey, whatever happens, happens. Like,
yeah.
To your point about Mattie Morphosis not thinking she was going to win, by the time I had been in the bottom two for a second time during the makeover challenge, I was like, I'm not going to win this thing, but I'm going to have as much fun and do whatever I can, which to me let some of the pressure go because I was like, I've said everything I ever wanted to say about me and my drag. So that helped a little, but it's still cuckoo because you're like, well, I don't want to do a bad job. I still want to do everything I can. You know, it's there's no way to fully comprehend what my brain was like by the end of filming. Mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated.
It's like you had a newborn too.
Yeah,
that's like you're
right.
I love this.
It's between sleeping and dreaming. Oh, it's such a good.
And for what it's worth, I am going to be writing a spooky. I'm writing a spooky Knives Out style drag queen murder mystery. And one of the main themes is like everyone is two suspects, right? Because as a drag queen, you are two people.
That's so funny.
Interesting. The disassociative personality disorder that lives in all of us. I think drag is a great way to express some of, you know, a different side of your personality. What probably helped me is that I do think of Jackie as like the best version of me. Mm-hmm. Like she is more poised. She's, I think, a little more eloquent, you know, she, so it helps being her for mm-hmm. me. Cause it's, I mean, it's like, I can like ground, I've been, you know, I'm doing it for 11 years now. It's like, I know how to access her. I've been on sets before where people are like, wow, you're able to just like, when you're in drag, like you can just kind of do it. You know, cause your body just gets so used to this character that in some ways has her own mind that kind of says things her own certain way. And so that was always, that helped me.
Yeah.
That helped me, just having the grounding of a character that I knew really well intimately.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's a very weird mind game. I think you should definitely make a show where it's like different kinds of reality people thrown together. Like you have like the Omarosa type, you know, you have something where it's like, and now you're all losing sense
girl.
Of reality. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, one of those, you know, I think there's something there of
that's
like
fascinating.
What your mind goes through.
Well, and just like is reality TV reality, if you're sleep deprived, you don't know what's real and what's a dream. Mm-hmm.
Well, people,
it's great.
People will always get on Britta for being frustrated at Aiden. And like, I think what's really hard to remember, there's two things going on. One, we're in this environment that's not real, right? So you're being as real as you can under very fake pretenses. Like this is not real life. In real life, you aren't locked in a room at night. In real life, you go back to your partner, you go back to your support system, you go back to like your real life if you have a stressful day at work. You don't have that on Drag Race. And so, you know, you react to things in such a different way than you maybe would otherwise. And at the same time, there's another part of your brain that's also like, I'm on TV. Part of my job is to talk about things that I maybe wouldn't talk about. You know, I think that's something that people get on Housewives for, people get on Us for, people get on people who are on reality television. It's like, well, why did you have to say something? And I'm like, people say things because it's their job to. And off camera, there's a producer saying, why don't you guys talk about this moment right now? You know, and that's always happening. That's always happening. And the fans know that, but then they forget. You know, they forget that like, prior to whatever blow up that happens, someone goes, hey, can you guys talk about this moment? Why don't you share your feelings about this moment? Where like in real life, you maybe wouldn't. People forget that. So then everything is heightened and you're sleep deprived. It's like a very...
And it's a psychological experiment because you want they always prove this in psychological experiments. You want the experiment to succeed, even when you know it's an experiment. So people like
when like people are being hypnotized, for example, they're like, I'm being hypnotized. They're like, there's some psychology in your brain that wants the experiment to succeed because you feel too much pressure to make it fail. So like you're more forthgiving probably, and you're like, yes, she did make me mad.
Sure. I mean, it's all of it, right? It's also there's just so much pressure. I mean, it's amazing. The reason this show has won so much is because you're taking, you know, an art form that's very broad, right? Mm-hmm. Drag is such a beautifully broad art form that can incorporate so many different kinds of artists. Mm-hmm. And you're putting artists in a high pressure environment and allowing that to explode or explode in a good way or explode in a bad way. You know, yeah. I think, there, for every firework, there's like a bomb, right? So it's like, there's a reason why we're still talking about it on this only drag podcast.
Thank you. And we should wrap up because my God, I've taken too much of your time and I loved every second of it. The lip sync was great. Very hard lip sync to lip sync to. I think that's one of the hardest lip sync songs I've ever seen in the world of drag.
It's a tough one.
They both did great.
They both did great. I don't know what happens, but I am hopeful that this isn't the last we've seen of Diabetti.
Same.
I do think she's fabulous, and I hope we see more of her.
Same. Hey.
But I don't know what happens.
Jackie, where can we see more of you? How can we support you? And I mean Venmo, Cash App.
Oh, my God.
Literally, where can we support you? Because Omicron is affecting all drag performers.
That is tea. I was supposed to be in Canada this week. It's pushed out to the spring, hopefully. Jackie Cox NYC across all platforms. You know, so if I ever move, I'll have to spend a lot of time redoing all my social handles, but Jackie Cox NYC on everything. And that's where I post, like, if I'm doing shows or whatever. Still taking Jackie Vision out and about.
Yes.
And then I'll have a new show probably this summer.
Great.
It's gonna be an idea I'm gonna steal from Rachel Bloom. I'm kidding.
I think you should.
Damn it!
Rach, what do you want to plug before we say ta-ta?
I mean, I'm just reminding myself to buy some of your merch, Jackie, because that's how I like to support.
Oh my God. If you do buy something, let me know and I'll have my team send a couple extra goodies for you.
Oh, yay. Okay. I'm honestly probably right after this going to buy some merch because some of my favorite articles of anything I own are drag queen, yes. Specifically the Tamisha Amon high tops.
Yes. I also own those.
They're so comfortable, right?
Comfortable.
They're the most comfortable high tops I've ever worn in my life. And then the Laganja Stranja cropped sweatshirt. Mm,
she has great merch.
It goes with fucking everything. Anyway, where can you see me? Oh, I don't know. Instagram.
Okay.
And there's some stuff coming up this year. I don't know. Maybe I'll get back on Twitter to like, or maybe I won't. Anyway, you can just check out my Instagram. It's pretty. It's a pretty reliable place to hear about things. I'm filming it. I'm going to be on a TV show that starts filming in March, but I don't know when it premieres. So.
Okay. We'll stay tuned.
We'll have to stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Hey, if you're listening, support Drag Herd Podcast by going to our Instagram, Drag Herd Podcast. We'll have all their lovely links in the pod description. If you like this podcast, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Write a review. It helps keep the lights on because, you know, we have such weight in our backs as the only gay outlet talking about gay stuff available in the world. Hey, Drag Her listeners, you are in for a treat because this episode was too fun. So damn fun that we had to turn it into 2 episodes. So get excited for a Drag Her exclusive with Miss Jackie Cox and Rachel Bloom. Ooh, get into it.
That was a HeadGum Original.